Our text tonight is 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 14. Sometimes I think some of us forget, or I know I forget, that God's word comes to us in the form of letters. Letters when we are reading the epistles. And I started thinking about that this week and thought, there's not a lot of letter writing that takes place today. One of my favorite nights is Monday night, because I've already got the dumpster at the curb. And if I don't get the mail at our house, it usually doesn't get gotten. And so I open the mail, and I love it when the dumpster's there, but because before I do that, I open the lid on the dumpster, and most of the stuff I get, I'm pitching. It's junk mail. It's credit card offers. And once in a while, you'll get a letter that sort of sneaks in. It comes by surprise. It looks like this should be from someone that you care about. And you open it up, and it says, "Dear Mark Nellison, most valued customer or current resident." Yeah, and so it's really not something that is something meaningful. But once in a while, at my house, we'll get a letter, and it's usually from a grandmother. I still have two grandmothers around, and I'm just amazed by the script that's written. I recognize her handwriting right away, and I think she takes great pride in writing Reverend Mark Nellison, or the most reverend. She obviously doesn't know me anymore, the opening of her letters are oftentimes, "Dearest Mark," and I don't know that we do that anymore. We don't give that kind of personalization so much to letters. So I love that we, some of us still write with our own hand and not just email or text. But there's a certain kind of warmth to that. And when we read the opening of 2 Timothy, I like to imagine, certainly God's word, but to imagine the kind of warmth that existed between Timothy and Paul. And we get to read somebody else's mail tonight, and it's a personal letter and one to be shared, but let's remember that as we read these first 14 verses. Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that your church has handed down this letter of Paul's, that we are privileged to read it tonight, and that we can hear in it not only something for Timothy and the congregation, but something for us as well. So we pray tonight that your word would find us, that you'd open our eyes and our ears. We do want to see and hear and experience Jesus. So tonight we pray that that might happen for us, and that your word, which never returns empty, would be planted deep inside of us and touch us in life-giving or life-changing ways tonight. So thank you for this opportunity to hear, to listen, to reflect, and to get ready for a new week under the sunshine of your grace. We pray this gratefully in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, that now also lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of the gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet there is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. As I was reading and reflecting on this text this week, it helped me to think about a letter. It helped me to think about warmth and not just abstract words from a New Testament book. And maybe opening that letter this afternoon was something that you felt that too. You felt Timothy and Paul's connection, that deep-rooted connection that they shared and share in the letter. In the letter, there's a number of things that are going on, but Paul begins with remembering. He remembers Timothy's tears at their last parting. He remembers his mother and his grandmother. He remembers their faith as something that is passed down, like a hand-me-down. And he's reminding Timothy of these things and calling him to remember them too. Paul is convinced that the faith that once lived in his mother and in his grandmother, in those who preceded Timothy, is now alive and at work inside of him. So his faith is not something that is or a certain set of truths that he's giving assent to, things that you say yes and no to, but it's something very much alive in him because of the way it was lived out. I find myself personally fascinated by the work of John Bowlby, who was a guy who did his work in the 50s and 60s, and what he did was he studied how we learn relationships. I'm so fascinated by it that I'm doing a doctoral dissertation on it, but Bowlby observed that we learn about relationships from our primary caregiver. And he said that whether we recognize it or not, the things that we learn about the responsiveness of those who cared for us teach us something about the nature of relationships. In fact, if we've had good first relationships, we've developed bonds with these people, and those bonds give us some security that we bring to future relationships. People who don't have that sometimes have difficulty with relationships. And if we've got secure bonds and we've got secure relationships with those who cared for us the first time, it's much easier for us to socialize with others and explore with others and bring those models of good relationship into future relationships. And if we don't have that, we have a tendency to look at other people with suspicion and with doubt. I want to suggest that I think Paul would say that Timothy learned how to do relationship with God because of his mother and his grandmother. Not something that was just taught, but something that was caught. Timothy caught something from the way in which faith lived in his grandmother and in his mother and the way in which they practiced it. So if we were to take the heart of Paul's letter right now, when Paul says, take that faith that you've got and fan it into flame, hold it because it's been entrusted to you, it's been handed down to you, I would love to have us tonight, right now, take a moment and have us reflect on somebody in our life, maybe long ago, maybe very long ago, who passed something of the essence of faith on to you and I. Who was that person in your life? Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or a pastor. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent. Somebody who not only practiced their faith, who talked about faith, but modeled it for you and I. And then when they saw it in you, they nurtured it or they nourished it. They encouraged you. They offered a word of affirmation or encouragement. And I'd like to ask you to imagine if you can think of one or two people like that who were very significant for you. What was it about them? What quality about them was it that helped them to help you remember them so quickly? And why is it that you felt treasured or special or valued by them? My hunch is that you felt handled with care or loved, or they loved the essence of you. They respected you. They cared for you. And if you ask yourself, what are the qualities of their spirit? What is the quality of their faith that left a residue on you? You may find, more often than not, consciously or unconsciously in your life, that you find yourself regularly returning somewhere to a feeling that they gave you, or a memory that they gave you, or an experience, that they were with you in an important point in your life, that they mentored you through, even if they weren't around. You called them to mind because they embodied true faith to you. I wonder how many of us have a very particular person in mind who walked with us, or in some ways may continue to walk with us. Paul is saying to Timothy, as we read this tonight, remember that. Remember that person. Remember that experience. Recall that. What began to nurture faith and life inside of you. I think it was your mother or your grandmother. There was a certain timelessness about these people who were so significant. And for Paul, that a sincere faith is tied to the experience of these two people in Timothy's experience, so that when Timothy thinks on Paul's relationship with him, this is yet another building block, another stepping stone in this life of faith that Timothy is beginning to live out and lead. I suspect for Timothy and for Paul, there's authentic relationship here. Ask yourself today, who are the people with whom I feel completely at home? Who are the people that I can entrust myself to? Who is it that knows me better than anyone else? Who do I feel safe with? Who are the kinds of people who will challenge me in every good way and even confront me but hold me in love when they do? Paul is speaking of this kind of faith life, and he uses the word love when he does. Love is a spiritual quality of faithful people who live into that kind of depth, beyond superficiality, but a certain kind of closeness that can only happen where God the Son has come that close. The grace that he's given has gone way back before the creation of the world. And God's grace even precedes the gospel and the being eyewitnesses of the death of God the Son. So a key piece of Paul's mentoring friendship and the ground of his preaching and teaching is his soul friendship with Timothy. And not just with Timothy, but with a mother and a grandmother, so that whatever that connection is has a certain kind of sacredness to it. Something that's handled with love and care. So maybe we should ask ourselves two questions tonight. Who were those people for us? And what is it that they practiced that has made such a lasting impression on us? Maybe a third question is to say, what are those qualities that have been passed down to each one of us that we want to pass down to a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter or someone else? What would it take for 20 or 30 years from now, someone being able to cite your and my name as being a significant person along the way that touched our life? Imagine someone writing a letter and saying to someone long after us, saying, who were those significant people? And having someone sit in these pews or somewhere else saying, yeah, it was you. And it was you. And this is what the essence of faith was in them that I saw and I experienced and that I found myself wanting to live into. I think when Paul writes these words to Timothy, he is offering them as words of deep encouragement. Sometimes the best places in which for us to draw a reservoir of our faith is to think back and to remember those times in which God put someone very significant in our life who in some ways we carry with us to this very day. Maybe Timothy was asking the kinds of questions, Paul, if you are really a herald of the gospel, why are you undergoing this kind of hardship or struggle? Or maybe he was asking himself, if I'm undergoing this kind of struggle, is this a sign that I'm not faithful or I'm not possessing faith? And Paul roots every word that he offers Timothy in the experience of suffering for the gospel as a way of mimicking and resembling Jesus. Like it or not, we become like the kinds of people whose company we keep. And I think Paul very much is suggesting here tonight that Timothy is living out and carrying out the kinds of faith that lived in those who went before him and was practicing the kind of faith that Paul was. And maybe some of us need that kind of encouragement tonight. Maybe some of us are experiencing hardship or challenge or difficulty and saying, am I doing something wrong here? And maybe what we need to imagine is Paul or a parent or a grandparent or our Lord himself offering us a word of encouragement, offering us a word of remember. Remember. Remember a person. Remember what has been entrusted with you. Recall my past faithfulness. And maybe in that we find new promise and new security. Because all of those people have pointed us to the one whom we remember, who's at the center of people we've respected and the one who's at the center of our own hearts. Let's live in peace with those words of comfort and assurance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, O God, for the people who have gone before us. We thank you for those who have touched our lives in good ways forever. We remember tonight people whom you have put into our lives who have been significant and who have been at turning places in our lives. And when we wonder what to do with that, besides live in gratitude, we pray that you would also put within us a yearning and a desire to be that kind of person for someone else. So thank you for parents, for grandparents, for Paul, for teachers and pastors, for apostles along the way, who remind us and call us to remember. So tonight, we pray that the memories of those who have passed faith along to us would be larger than memories of pain and difficulty and hardship, that we would see in the people whom you have sent your very hands and your very feet, your messengers who have accompanied us in our times of need. Help us to be those kinds of people for others. We pray that we would leave lasting impressions as soul friends on the life of other people. And we pray that this would not be about us, but it would be about you living in us. So we pray for your grace, and we pray for your call on our lives. Help us to be faithful, and help us to love you wholeheartedly. We pray this in the name of Jesus, whom you have sent, and whom you have raised to the highest place.